sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers. I'm your host, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm excited to be here with you. You know, in the good old days of good old boys, men considered that they honored women. They really did. They opened doors. They lit their cigarettes. They threw their coats down over puddles so women could walk over it. But, you know, I assert that they were keeping little women in their places. But, you know, there's a true honoring of women that can take place, and that's what we're going to talk about today. This show is about the true honoring of women, not doing things that keep women small, the little ladies small, while really taking advantage of them. This show is about honoring women. So my guests today, one of my guests is Dan Middleton, and he's going to be speaking about how he learned to honor women. And my other guest is Lindy Dye of Atlanta Romance Rescue, and she's going to be talking about how she actually teaches men to honor women in some of the sessions that she does with men alone and also with couples. So this show is about that. This is for you if you want to know truly about honor. Dan, welcome to my show. Welcome to Sex and Happiness. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
It's wonderful, wonderful. And you're coming to us straight from Germany, which is great as well, that you stayed up late to be on this show. Actually, we're recording on Women's Day, the honoring of women today, and the show, it will not air today, but today is Women's Day, so it's the perfect serendipitous day to be talking about this. Dan, you know, I don't know you that long. I met you on Facebook, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, something like that. We've had amazing conversations and chatting. And I have almost 2,000 friends on Facebook. So it's not, I don't chat with just anybody.
So thank you.
But I chat with you and I notice the things that you post. And I look for you when I haven't seen you for a long time because of a certain way that you are. And what I'm getting at is a certain honoring that I believe that you have for me and a certain honoring that you demonstrate in the posts that you post and in the people that you speak to and how you speak to them. So how did you learn to honor women, Dan? Did your parents just bring you up right, or did you set yourself up to be a special man in this world?
Well, it's a combination of both. I got a kick out of your introduction about, you know, men opening doors and lighting cigarettes. That was the way my mother taught me. I found your comment about keeping the little woman with mother, because mother was the one that taught me, not my father. It was a respect.
She taught you to respect women.
Yes. Yes. And then the women that I have been involved with in my life have all been strong, powerful women.
Why did you choose strong and powerful women?
Now, that's a good question. I think part of it has to be the honoring and the respecting. And if I'm going to honor and respect a woman, I want a woman who is strong and loves herself.
That's great. You know, but I just want to say, you know, if we were just to take a cookie cutter, like how your mother raised you and then gave the cookie cutter to a whole bunch of other men, they didn't turn out like you. you know, you like strong and powerful women and you find things to honor them about. I mean, there's no small amount of things that you post that don't have to do with some way, some kind of inequality or some kind of honoring the goddess or romance in a certain way that's empowering to women. And really, romance has been very disempowering to women. Look, don't get me wrong, I crave romance. Mm-hmm. And I'm a strong and powerful woman, but I knew a long time ago that I needed my own horse. Like, I couldn't, if you rode in on the sunset on a saddle, I don't want to be side saddle on your horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need my own horse. Romance would kill me if I don't have my own horse.
Uh-huh. True.
So, okay, but you say true, but I'm just saying if we had a cookie cutter,
yeah,
you know, of other men who were raised to, you know, put the coat down over the puddle and, you know, open the door for women and walk on the outside of the sidewalk. I'm old enough to remember those things. Today, I mean, men, they just text. They text them and they don't offer to pay for anything, not even a cup of tea. I mean, no kidding. So how is it that you started to choose powerful women, and what do you think you've learned, you know, kind of in the dating marriage scene? I know you have a daughter, an adult daughter. Like, what, something had to shift in you that made you a little different, unless you don't think that you are different from men and it's just from other men and it's just me and the other women that I notice who write to you on Facebook who think that you're different. Can you stand it?
I think the one thing that I could attribute to my father in this process is that, I grew up in a very religious family, and my father taught me that in God's eyes, back then I considered it God versus the goddess also, was that we were all equal, is that God saw us all the same. So I've always grown up with this, the part of me that nobody was better than anyone else. And it didn't matter whether it was men, women, or the color of your skin or anything else. So my father set that part of my belief system about who I am. And then with my mother putting into me this respect for women, I remember when I started dating and my mother took me aside and said, listen, you get yourself into a situation and the young lady says no, she means no, and you quit immediately. So there's always been this thing that my mother said was, you know, just the respect and the thing of listening. And the strong women, I think part of it is I've also always chosen beautiful women to me, and they've always all been strong. But it's this thing of just honoring and respecting who's there.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. I mean, it's a very, in principle, it's very sacred what you're talking about. Do you remember, if you were advising somebody, you know, like how something in you maybe shifted, or, I mean, because you must have been burned a few times. It is unique. There are a lot of men who had the same upbringing as you, and they don't feel that way. They kind of feel like all women are bitches. Look, I'm just going to, I'll give you a little tip. My mother brought me up, for example, to be late, always to be late. And I was like, why? Why do I have to be late? Because I'm the kind of person, when I'm ready to go, I'm raring to go. Mm-hmm. And I'd be all dressed and ready. My mother would say, stay upstairs for half an hour. And I go, why? And she'd say, because men should wait. And I, you know, so I did that because I was in her house, but I didn't like to do that. And she said that that built respect, that phony thing that was like a manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived on my own and I became my own person, I had too much respect for people to show up late. I didn't want to be that kind of a prima donna. To me, that looked like manipulation. So plenty of men manipulate who had the same upbringing as you. How, maybe it's the water that you swim in. You just don't No, do you know other men who consider women to be bitches
Oh,
and
yeah.
to be
Oh, yeah.
manipulated? Okay, so do a little distinguishing for me, would you? Like, how do you see that, and how could you see that they're cutting themselves short from what they could really get in their life relating to women?
Well, part of it for me also is that I've always rather I would rather have a good conversation, or I would rather have a good experience interacting with you than have a negative one. So for me, it's let's have fun doing whatever it is that one interests you and interests me, and let's move in that direction of cooperation and joy. And so, one, if I do respect who you are and I want to interact with you, I'm not going to put you down. I want to interact at a place that is enjoyable for both of us.
What if you're having a dispute, or you're having some difficulty communicating, and let's say the woman gets what people term hysterical and starts yelling at you, or seems like she's losing it. How are you in a situation like that?
Well, that's a fairly recent one for me. And what I did was stood there and took it for a while, and then I said, "This is getting us nowhere, and I'm getting angry, so I'm going to pull out of this situation so that we can both breathe and calm down." And I went for a walk and then came back simply to diffuse the anger that was there. So.
Okay, good. That's great. I mean, that's so you didn't escalate it, and nor did you try to fix her. Because a
No.
lot of times people try to fix, they then start to perceive the person as being, messed up in some way, and then try to fix her. What would you consider to be your take on, if you were somewhere and you saw a man disrespecting a woman, like in a restaurant or something, what would be your take on that? Would you be likely to maybe say something?
Yeah, well, depending upon if it's just a discussion, it's their way of communicating, and I may be just sticking my foot in it. But if it's getting physical, or if it's getting dangerous, then yeah, I'm going to stick myself into the middle of that and stop that from happening. And if it's somebody I know, if it's personally somebody I know, then one, I am going to say something. I
All
will
right,
stick
that's,
myself in the middle of that.
yeah, I just wanted to know. I really wanted to know in that honoring spirit of yours. I mean, you seem like a peaceful soul, but nonetheless, I wanted to know if you would step in. We're gonna take a break here for a moment, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about romance. I'm speaking with Dan Middleton, my guest. He's an American from Oregon who's right now living and traveling in Europe. He's a Reiki master, and he wants everyone to know that he drinks his coffee black. I think it's more important that he takes his women honoringly. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful situation. So we'll be back. This is Laurie Handlers with Sex and Happiness. Please stay tuned.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself, and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown. And then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers, the host of Tantra Cafe. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And today my guests are Dan Middleton and Lindy Dye, and we're talking about the honoring of women and how it comes, how it, it tips maybe for men and women to honor women in a way that women possibly haven't felt honored before on the planet. Before we get back into that, I want to ask if you're in pain or unable to sleep, if you've ever heard about the body needing glutathione, because you could possibly need a boost of energy in your life. And if you do, it's good to try LifeWave patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is like a small Band-Aid designed to help your body with the challenges of life, from lifestyle or simply not getting enough of what the body needs. You can even use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to LifeWave for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with David Schmidt about the patches and how they can reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy in your body. Or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to find out how you can order your patches or consider becoming an independent LifeWave distributor. That's 714-928-6399. Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm in this segment talking to Dan Middleton. Dan, I want to ask you some questions about romance. Give me some of your notions about what you consider to be romantic. How would you romance
first? Okay. My most recent experience, I was visiting a lady and she had to work and I didn't have to. So one of the things that I did is put up some things. I printed out some things that I had on the computer as far as I put in her name and said that she was used a bunch of different words, beautiful, has wisdom, is a goddess. And I made, I probably had 10 or 15 of these. And then I cut them and put them on the steps leading up to her apartment so that when she came around the corner and started the steps, she saw them. And then I had sprinkled some rose petals on the steps. And then when she opened the door, the rose petals led to the bedroom. And I heard her come in and she started up the steps and then I heard her stop walking and she was reading each one. And then when she opened the door, I was standing there with a glass of wine and gave her a kiss and a hug and we proceeded with the evening.
That's very sweet, Dan. That's very, very sweet. Women need a lot of... Men think that women need a lot of foreplay just physically, but women need foreplay in their mind. They need to be romanced in their mind, seduced actually in their mind before somebody gets really to a good first base. So this is good what you did. And did the evening work out well?
Oh, the evening was beautiful.
great.
I mean, I cooked dinner for her that night also, so.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. So your idea of romance would be to let her know that she's special in writing things down and letting her find them rather than speaking them. And then the rose petals, that's really always a nice thing. And cooking dinner for her, nurturing her, that's very sweet as well. Very sweet.
A part of it for me, romance is communication and it's honesty. I was married for many years. And it was several decades before my ex told me that she did not like red roses. And I had been giving red roses every year on our anniversary. And I happened to mention that to this lady, and she said, I don't like red roses either. I like white ones. So for me, the communication of what she liked, you know, then I'm giving her something that she enjoys. Part of it for me, romance is communication.
How do you feel if a woman tells you that about some performance, some sexual performance of yours, something that you do she doesn't like, or she wants you to make a correction?
Doesn't bother me at all.
And you make the correction?
Of course.
You're a smart man, Dan Middleton. You're a very smart man. You're a smart Reiki master. So,
If we're talking in bed, it's for the pleasure of both of us. So if I do something a certain way that's not good, and she has the courage to tell me, then for gosh sake, sure, I'm going to change that process. You know, I mean, it may be, I may ask her to, one, take my hand or whatever it happens to be and guide me and show me. To me, the bed and the sexual pleasure is an experience of communication again. And it's not, the one thing that I have discovered is that every woman is different. So to me, it's listening.
This is true.
You know, it's just listening.
Excellent. So really honoring a woman, if we could simplify it, might be like, if we could give a tip to other men, anybody who's out there listening to this, it could be that honoring a woman really comes down to, when you boil it down, comes down to listening.
Of course. It's all about.
You're saying, of course, like, oh, it's a duck with water rolling off of its back, but really a lot of people don't listen. You know that.
Well, I know we don't listen to ourselves. We don't listen to our bodies. As a rule, we tune out everything. So to me, it all comes down to listening and communication.
It's great. It's so great.
If I can listen to my own body and own it, and if I can listen enough, I mean, let's take it back to the romance and the bedroom. If I can listen, and instead of, I mean, this comes right down to your tantra. It's the enjoyment of the moment instead of shooting for the orgasm or making it, you know, we have to go to the end. We're headed somewhere, instead of just in the moment. And if I'm in the moment, then I'm listening. I'm not going somewhere. And to me, that's where the fun and the pleasure comes in. It's not the same thing. Day after day, the romance is not the same. If I listen to myself, my intuition, my inner being is going to say, do it this way today, because that's where she is. Because your inner being and my inner being are communicating one another. And if we listen, then it works.
That's great. That's really great. Thanks for saying. And it's really elementary. What you're talking about is so elementary, just listening. Listening to the whole circumstance, listening to the whole situation, listening to your body, listening to inner guidance is what I call it. So it's what you're describing is really basic. Now, yeah. You posted something amazing last week that, and then you sent it to me privately, which is how I know that you honor women, because you honor me a lot by sending things that are special. And I'd love for you to share it. And I like, before you do it, I'd just like you to talk about why you picked that piece of writing, that poem, and shared it. Like, how did it move you?
Well, part of it for me is that when we disagree, quite often we quit communicating, we quit listening, and we start running. And we turn around. And what this poem speaks to me about is, one, honoring the woman enough to listen, honoring her enough to not be looking elsewhere, to be looking inside and seeing who she is. Because as far as I'm concerned, every woman has a beauty that, if we actually look for it, is just amazing. And that, to me, is what this poem speaks about. It's
Let's go to it then. Let's go to it, because it was amazing. What's the name of it? How, if you want to change the world?
It's If You Want to Change the World, Love a Woman. And it's written by Lisa Satori. Isn't that her name?
Yeah,
Lisa Satori. I may be pronouncing her last name incorrectly, and if I am, I'm sorry, Lisa.
All right, let's hear it, because it's great. We're kind of winding down now in this segment, and I really want to you to share this with people.
Okay. If you want to change the world, love a woman. Really love her. Find the one who calls to your soul, who doesn't make sense. Throw away your checklist and put your ear to her heart and listen. Hear the names, the prayers, the songs of every living thing, every winged one, every furry and scaled one, every underground and underwater one, every green and flowering one, every not yet born and dying one. Hear their melancholy praises back to the one who gave them life. If you haven't heard your own name yet, you haven't listened long enough. If your eyes aren't filled with tears, if you aren't bowing at her feet, you haven't ever grieved having almost lost her. If you want to change the world, love a woman. One woman beyond yourself, beyond desire and reason, beyond your male preferences for youth, beauty, and variety, and all your superficial concepts of freedom. We've given ourselves so many choices, we've forgotten that true liberation comes from standing in the middle of the soul's fire and burning through our resistance to love. There is only one goddess. Look into her eyes and see, really see, if she is the one to bring the axe to your head. If not, walk away right now. Don't waste time trying. Know that your decision has nothing to do with her, because ultimately it's not with who, but when we choose to surrender. If you want to change the world, love a woman. Love her for life, beyond your fear of death, beyond your fear of being manipulated by the mother inside your head. Don't tell her you're willing to die for her. Say you're willing to live with her, plant trees with her, and watch them grow. Be her hero by telling her how beautiful she is in her vulnerable majesty, by helping her to remember every day that she is goddess through your adoration and devotion. If you want to change the world, love a woman in all her faces, through all her seasons, and she will heal you of your schizophrenia, your double-mindedness, and half-heartedness, which keeps your spirit and body separate, which keeps you alone and always looking outside yourself for something to make your life worth living. There will always be another woman. Soon the shiny new one will become the old dull one, and you'll grow restless again, trading in women like cars, trading in the goddess for the latest object of your desire. Man doesn't need any more choices. What man needs is woman, the way of the feminine, of patience and compassion, non-seeking, non-doing, of breathing in one place and seeking deep intertwining roots, strong enough to hold the earth together while she shakes off the cement and steel from her skin. If you want to change the world, love a woman, just one woman. Love and protect her as if she is the last holy vessel. Love her through her fear of abandonment, which she's been holding for all of humanity. No, the wound's not hers to heal alone. No, she's not weak in her codependence. If you want to change the world, love a woman all the way through until she believes you, until her instincts, her vision, her voice, her art, her passion, her wildness have returned to her. Until she's a force of love more powerful than all the political media demons who seek to devalue and destroy her. If you want to change the world, lay down your causes, your guns and protest signs. Lay down your inner war, your righteous anger, and love a woman. Beyond all of your striving for greatness, beyond your tenacious quest for enlightenment, the Holy Grail stands before you. if you would only take her in your arms and let go of searching for something beyond this intimacy? What if peace is a dream which can only be remembered through the heart of woman? What if a man's love for woman, the way of feminine, is the key to opening her heart? You want to change the world? Love a woman to the depths of your shadow, to the highest reaches of your being, back to the garden where you first met her, to the gateway of the rainbow realm, where you walk through together as light, as one, to the point of no return, to the ends and the beginning of a new earth. If you want to change the world, love a woman.
Thank you so much, Dan. That is just beautiful. Thank you for sending that to me. I send that out to all women and men in this moment on sex and happiness. And we're going to take a break right there. Dan, thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Much love. Bye.
Goodbye.
Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back with Sex and Happiness when my guest, Lindy Dye, will be on talking to us about how she actually trains some men to be more honoring of women. Stay tuned. Would you like to try a natural product that would enhance your orgasms? My guest today is Shayna Venice, the founder of New Zealand Pure, a company that makes unique products for sexual wellness. Shayna, what is it that people can use to enhance their orgasms? Everybody's trying to do that.
Absolutely. Well, there are different factors that, come into play why we don't have explosive orgasms. One is, our vaginal secretions aren't flowing like they used to. Perhaps you're a little dry, perhaps you're a little irritated. Well, the great thing about silk, which is made from kiwi vine extract, is that it helps to balance your own pH and increase your vaginal secretions. The result is explosive, satisfying, wonderful orgasms and joyful sex.
Wow, Shayna, thanks so much for that description. Wonderful. If you'd like to find out more about silk, go to silkusa.com. That's SYLKUSA.com. You can find out more about silk from me as well. Write to Laurie@tantracafe.com. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers. And for the second part of the show today, I'm going to be talking with Lindy Dye of Atlanta Romance Rescue. She is a student and guide of sacred relationship. What it actually says, Lindy's brief description is that she utilizes structures of tantric relationship arts. She's a Taoist. She uses Taoist partner healing and Native American sacred honoring and other cultural forms of wisdom and sacred relationships. She's a lifelong student and guide of sacred relationships. So, Lindy, it is my pleasure to have you here today, right here in the studio with me.
Yes, thank you, Laurie.
Well, we met and you were talking to me about things that you do with people in relationships. Like you said that you prefer working with people one-on-one or couples, like you one-on-two.
Right.
And you were describing to me some situations that have come to you where you found men not knowing really how to relate to women in their lives.
Right, right.
How should men honor women?
That's a really big question. And I also think, how could they not? You know? And then I think back, what's the difference in the men that are natural honorers of women and those that have an edge and can't and actually need learning?
Do you think this man I just interviewed, Dan Middleton, do you think he naturally honors women?
I feel that he is a natural and deeply appreciated as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Not just any man would read that poem, would send that poem to women that he appreciates over the internet,
Yeah.
So if men did that kind of thing, that would show honor, yeah?
Right. I think honor goes back to the person, goes back to the man, does he even have a reference point for what honoring is? Mm-hmm. Most men are the initiators of relationship and romance and sexuality. And when they don't have a real strong reference point within, I just don't think they can go from there. So how does someone get to that place?
Yeah, this man said that his parents brought him up like that.
Right.
In religion. And, you know, some religions don't honor. I mean, we can't just take religion as a blanket and say that that's the honor of women.
Right.
You and I are both squinting our noses up.
What I speak from is how it's felt as a woman to be honored. And taking what I saw, what I've seen, and asking men to start to look deeper into how they are relating to women. And it's, I keep having this visual of being raised in the South and how much time the men spent under the hood of a car.
Instead of under the hood of my vulva.
Just remember thinking, my goodness gracious, if they had that much passion and that much care around something cold and metal, you know, if they could put that time and that energy into that precious being that they are in partnership with, then what would happen? What would shift? And I felt like there's just a lot of ignorance around how to relate to women based on religion, based on culture, based on fear. There's a lot of fear in men about how they think they're supposed to be relating and what they've felt in the past. So when I'm working with somebody one-on-one, I'm getting a feel for how they're feeling about me in general. I'm representing a female right in front of them. Are they comfortable with me? Are they relaxed? If not, are they taking that energetic into that relationship with a woman? This is getting beyond romance and into more the relationship in the bedroom. If they come to see me and they just got out of a horrible meeting at work and they're unhappy with their job and they were in, you know, an hour of traffic, and they walk in and I am empathic enough to get the feel energetically for what this person is. Do they have a battling energy about them? Are they able to sit there with me and listen? Are they able to look at me? Are they able to pay attention to my subtleties, my breath, my eyes, my voice? Are they able to be attentive enough to help shift their energy that would shift mine? Can they, and if not, and I feel like most men have battles in the world that takes them out of their own intuition. And what I want as a woman is a man to be almost as in tune with me as I am with myself. And so I feel like...
Don't you think that's like a tall order? I mean, I do know the theory that women would like men to be like their girlfriends. And they never can be. I mean, they're just, they're men. You know, they're wired different.
Yeah. I think I want to feel an honoring. And what is that honoring? What does that look like in physical terms? And that does look like an attentiveness, a listening beyond words. Mm. And I know most men are in the cognitive self and need words, but there's so much about us in our beauty that is not about words.
Yes. Because I mean, I've noticed that men fill up, you know, men that they try to entertain me often, and they sometimes fill up the space with jokes.
Yes.
And I'm terrible. I have to say, I'm admitting something here. I don't get most jokes. I have a really good sense of humor, but most people's jokes are just not funny to me. Like, I don't get certain sarcasms, and I also don't get puns. So men, sometimes they feel like they're busting their pick on me, like they're trying to entertain me and I'm not laughing. I'm waiting till they stop.
Right.
So that we can sit there again or be quiet again or just hold hands or something. So
interestingly, I saw this picture of tango dancing. And we haven't talked about this, but I studied a little bit of tango.
That's me with my tango instructor in Argentina.
Oh, that's great.
He used that on his business card. I'm not even good of a tango dancer, but whatever.
Wow. Well, as
it's very tantric tango. It's,
As you're speaking, you're talking about holding space. One of the most, a man actually pausing. And one of the most poignant moments of tango to me is the pause. When nothing is happening and I am in deep anticipation of what is next, I have no idea. He's taken me to this place of the unknown. I've had to drop any ideas about what he's about to do. And I find, to me, that is like a deep, romantic and passionate and beautiful surrender. And he took me to that just by pausing. A lot of men in tango don't pause for very long because just like in our world, their minds are going fast into the future.
And they're doing,
trying to create.
Yeah.
And they're afraid we're going to get bored. So they, especially in lovemaking, they get very, very busy without many pauses, many pauses, you know. And so what I try to teach is the beauty of the pause and what can develop. And that is about the magic and the mystery and the unknown, which you and I were
speaking
about.
That's so good. That is so, thank you. Yes. It's a perfect, you know, it's a perfect analogy. And for people that might not tango, we didn't know we were going to be speaking this, but we're speaking of Argentine tango. And in the Argentine tango, there is no prescribed steps. There are certain patterns that one learns and then it's really called musicality. The man leads. He leads to whatever he's feeling based on how the music is inspiring him. The woman has no idea what he's going to do. And often she just, because she's trained herself and she's prepared for the unknown, her body just falls into various fancy foot things and all kinds of gorgeous patterns that she and he have no idea that they're going to do before they set forth in the dance. And it's a beautiful analogy. We're gonna take a little break now. I'm speaking with Lindy Dye of the Atlanta Romance Rescue, and you can reach her there at www.atlantaromancerescue.com. That's where you can find out more about her and what she does. If you're ready to find out about the unknown, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. We're going to find out what she does in some actual sessions. So please stay tuned. If you're looking for the absolute best holiday present that you could possibly get for someone, consider Tanga Fine Lingerie. Tanga Fine Lingerie comes from France and Italy. It's amazing fabric, lace, and silk. And you won't find anything like it anywhere. That's www.tangafinelingerie.com. T-A-N-G-A, finelingerie.com. Many times on Tantra Cafe, you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now, you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lati Han, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try this CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage. Well, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handler, your host, and I'm back with you, and we're talking today about how to honor a woman. And I'd like to know how you'd like to lose up to a pound a day with no exercise required, with no hunger, without being on a restrictive diet for the rest of your life, with no unpleasant side effects. If you would like to know more about this, I recommend HCG. And how you can find out more about HCG is by calling or writing hormonenurse.com. Please go to her website, the website of Lori Phillips, hormonenurse.com, where you can find out about HCG. You can effortlessly lose weight. I am a living example of this. I'm down 22 pounds now on HCG. It's amazing. It's easy, easy, easy. And also you will find out more about hormone testing and the hormones you might need. Certainly if you're a person, a man or a woman over age 45, you might want to look into your hormones, because both men and women have mood swings. They are depleted. So go to hormonenurse.com to find out more. Well, I'm back with my guest, Lindy Dye of Atlanta Romance Rescue. And we were just speaking about how there are subtleties in women. There are quietness. There are ways that a woman's eyes look, and ways of just nuances that Lindy feels men need to look for and look at and be with when they're honoring a woman. And some of the things she was talking to me about when we met were things that she sometimes has to teach men in sessions with their partner. And so, Lindy, I'd like to talk about that, some very specific things that you've encountered in the helping a man honor his woman, like a woman with her man there with you in a session, and then how... What did you discover, and how do you find that you could have them learn specific things for honoring their women?
Would you like me to get specific
about
the session? I think we were talking about a specific session that took place about 7 years ago. It was a couple that had been married for 15 years, and they asked me to come in and create an evening for them that my words would be their words were probably just for guidance in learning how to deepen their relationship and how to connect differently. And I guess you could throw that as my words as well. But I really didn't know what I was doing then, let's just say. I just knew that I was there to connect them deeper.
You mean when you say you didn't know what you were doing then, you were new at coaching
couples
and intimacy.
I was new at coaching couples. So what I found in that, after 15 years of marriage, this was their anniversary night as well, I assumed that they already knew everything about each other and that they had gotten, you know, to a point where they were deeply honoring, in my eyes, in relationship.
You would hope that in 15 years, two people would know each other, but...
It's the old, his head was under the hood of a car instead. what I saw...
And she wasn't communicating probably very well.
She had no
either.
Idea. And I'm also coming from the Deep South as well, and there's still a lot of repression. And for a woman to even speak or move or make sounds, I'm finding is still a little rare. Things are changing, but...
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And anyway, this particular couple, what I found, I was helping guide him on one side. He was on one side of her, and she was on the other on a massage table. And I was trying to create a guidance. And I found him... just grabbing
her breast,
three parts of her body, trying to, as though he were trying to jump start an engine. You know, I can talk cars too. You know, he was a tinker. Well, anyway, I won't get into that, but it was just really, it was very fast. And I know he was, you know, I mean, he was his energies, sexual energy was a little high that night. I had to teach him how to calm that down a little bit. But what I found, his hands were moving really, really fast, and she was laying there, and I felt that she was closed off. And number one, I asked him, and I was at one time a driver's ed teacher, so I used the idea around speed limit. So I said, look, you are going 60 miles an hour. And I said, let's go. Let's try 25.
That's great.
Yeah, and then I, at 25, ooh, you know how it is.
I know, we went from tango to cars.
Yeah, but I feel like I spend a lot of energy trying to transfer and bridge language.
Yeah.
Who am I talking to and what do they understand?
Sure.
So the car thing, but 25 miles per hour, just like anybody going to a speed zone, sometimes there's a lot of anxiety. It's hard to go 25 miles per hour. So I had to coach him on calming his body down, breathing, so we could get down to 15 miles per hour.
Yes.
Because that's where she started shifting.
Well, I have this, you know, you say that he looked like he was under the hood of a car, and I have this image of a baby trying to, you know, wean milk from its mother, like grabby baby, frantic, like hurry up, feed me.
Yes.
And I think, you know, look, none of us learned. I have to just give everyone here the benefit of the doubt. None of us, I learned to make love from whoever my partners were.
Yes.
And luckily I had a few good ones.
Yeah.
And then I freed myself. But
where
do we learn? Yeah. So, you know, women and men don't get any lessons until they find someone like you.
Right.
Or someone like me.
Right.
Yeah. So what happened? Did he respond to that?
He did respond. I also asked him, he slowed down. I also asked him to explore putting that energy from his heart through his arm and to his hand onto her womb space, which had carried a child. And I spoke the words, but I said, can we honor this part of her body? And it was somewhat like a prayer. And during that time, I felt like she had never had that part of her body honored for carrying his child, for carrying a child. Tears welled up in her eyes. Her body opened. It softened. The room completely changed. And what happened was they conceived a child that night.
Wow. That's amazing. And they must have told you later.
I gave them every opportunity for me to leave, but they asked me to stay. And
so you actually stayed with them while they were having a sexual intercourse?
Yes.
And were you able to coach them during that as well?
For the most part, I stayed with them up to a certain point and then let them just join in their own union, and me just holding, kind of embracing them lightly. And
they conceived a child.
They conceived a child that night.
That's amazing.
And they had wanted a child. So what happened there, I think, was deep honoring. I saw her shift. I saw him shift into something she needed him to be.
That's so great. Now, do you think this translates? That's the most important thing. Like, if, you know, if they leave you.
Yes.
And they go away. Maybe you see them again. Maybe you don't see them again. Do you think he had a permanent shift? You know.
Good question. I think so.
You do?
I do. And like I say, it wasn't geared to specifically. It was more of a night of guidance and yet keeping it romantic and celebratory. If he would have chosen to come see me individually, we would have worked more on, I don't even like to use the word techniques, but more exercises where pace and honor, creating safety, emotional safety.
And also various ways of stroking and touching and things, because where do we learn?
Right.
Nobody learns to honor a woman. And I don't want this to go in the unsaid. It's sort of because we're kind of winding down. But apropos of the poem that my previous guest, Dan, read, the one, you know, if you want to change the world, honor a woman.
Yes.
My belief, if men would honor women in the way that he spoke of in that poem.
Yes.
Or in the way that you're speaking of, a man touching a woman's womb like a prayer. Women would honor men
in return.
It would be heaven would really be on earth. Heaven would really be on earth. It's, yes. It's, and I don't know why this is. In my workshops, I find that women need to get honored first. There's some way that they've been so hurt or so shut down or so damaged that until I teach the men to honor the women first in a way that really can be felt and perceived by them, they're not giving it up. Women are not giving up that pain and suffering to then honor men and adore them.
Yes.
The way they need.
Yes.
The way they need. So
beautiful.
Well, I want, is there anything you want to say about people coming to you? You know, how they can get in touch with you? There might be another way that I didn't mention.
www.AtlantaRomanceRescue right now is the direct contact. And
okay. That's AtlantaRomanceRescue.com. I really thank you for being my guest today. It's been a pleasure to have you. This was a great subject. I loved it. We approached it from two different ways. Someone who's in it.
Yes.
You know, who it does honor. And then people talking about how you can get help.
Yes.
If you don't know how to honor a woman, they can find you. Would you do Skype sessions with people if they get in touch with you?
Certainly, I do Skype
sessions.
That's
great. Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much, Lindy Dye, for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Lori.
This is Lori Handlers. I'm saying goodbye to you until our next episode on Sex and Happiness. I can't wait to be with you again. Thank you all, and goodbye.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-